Like to invite the kids to come down if you would. Daddy. All right. Good morning. I'm going to need lots of help from you guys today, okay? So lots of help. First of all, I need all of you to stand up. All of you stand up. And I want you to turn around and face all these people out there and wave at them and say good morning. Good morning. Wonderful. Now I want you to come over here. Come on over here. Very carefully. Follow me up here. Don't bump anything. Walk all along over here till we get everybody up. Everyone up. Now I want you to face the people. You guys, well, and the mic. Thank you. That was close. We almost did it. Bruce doesn't always plan these out quite enough. Here we go. Let's sing together. Will you sing Jesus Loves Me with me so they can hear you? Here we go. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Outstanding. Come follow me. Come on. Good job. Good job. All right. I have a treat, so each one of you get to grab one of these. There's your first treat for being so helpful. Good job. Now come on over here. Come on over here. Good, good, good. All right. Let's stand way over here. And you're going to get a test now. Here's your test. All right. Here's the test. Does Jesus, oh, come on over. Come on, that's good. Does Jesus really love little children? Wait a minute. Are you sure? Wait, as much as big people?
Yes.
Oh, boy, I learned something new today from you guys. Does he love little children when they're bad?
Yes.
Does he love big people when they're bad?
Yes.
You all passed the test today. You're ready to go? You too? He loves you too. Now you get a quarter. So grab one. Don't lose it. Don't lose it or I'll keep it. Take one, not two. There we go. Or seven, one. Yeah, there we go. There you go. No, don't grab that, honey. Grab the quarter. There you go. Or three. Grab that. Or three. It's right, Mama. We'll work on it later. All right. Come around up here. Did I miss somebody? Oh, you're bringing it back, honey? I'll take it. Put it back in there. You keep one. Thank you. Or no, you keep just one. Perfect. Honest kids encouraged by their mommies. That's always good. And we come back here. And I want you to tell all the people again, thank you for listening to us. God loves you. And he loves us too. Even though we're little children. Now you get to sit back down. No. Right here, hon. Right here. You can run back there. Right here. We're not done. Now, you think that would be so simple, right? You know, to ask people to do things. You guys sang really well. You passed all the questions on your test. And you were really doing a great job. And the candy better go real quick. So take this back, and I will talk about the rest later in the sermon. Here you go. Here's another thing. Grab one. There you go. Just one.
Thank you.
You're welcome, honey. I skipped whoever was doing the reading. Was someone doing the reading? All right, good. I apologize. I had two readings. I'm going to read one for you. One comes out of Matthew. And I want to, it's the little children one, Matthew 19, if you got your Bibles. If you don't, you shouldn't be in this church, wrong church for you. So open up your phones. That's where you cover. I can't tell what you're doing. A lot of kids sit and play, so. Matthew 19 up there, verse 13. The little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and to pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. It is so easy for us to just cross into judgmental from where we are. Age, ability, style, characteristics. I can be triggered by any number of things. I just don't like him or her. And we get to that point where we really find ourselves hurting and causing kind of division and divisiveness and stress and pain and suffering in different individuals. And so as I thought about the challenges that we're dealing with, we had our first debate, and obviously you all knew who to vote for now, right? Anyway, we are under the middle of all kinds of crisscrosses of emotions, not to mention the day-to-day stuff that includes coughs and colds, that includes the pressures of hanging on to a job or not hanging on to a job, or the threat of downsizing, or some of the uncertainties of economic interest rates and all the other things that just go together from day to day, not to mention, look, the dog threw up again, right? I mean, we have a life that's filled with the mundane and, the baby's dirty again, and Grandpa gave them to my son, and I loved every minute of that. I don't mind changing diapers, but I just did that to him yesterday, so it was fun. And I go, that's just the stuff to survive. That's just the stuff to survive. And so the challenge for us that I think that I wanted us to be sensitive to and address, the kids followed me with no inhibition. Did you notice that? They just did it. All right? They sang, I thought, very well. Different places. They shouted their answers back there, and they walked all the way around. They were ready to sit down with just a quarter and a piece of candy. And now that they got their sucker, they're extra happy. But you understand, God calls you and I to be faithful. God calls us to follow. I have a student in my class, and she's a really nice young lady in some ways, but she's gentle way to say it, say she's outspoken. Not so gentle way to say it is she doesn't know how to keep her mouth spoken. And she's got an opinion about everything, which doesn't bother me. But the other day I was having the kids do something, and she just went like this. Well, if you don't tell me exactly why we're doing this, I'm not going to do it. I said, okay. All right, let's go on. And of course, you got to tell me what we're going to do. It's not fair. You have to do that. And I said, no, I don't. Let's go on. And I played right into the sensitivity that she needed from me. And finally, I said, you're going to have to trust me. And we got all done. And I said, was this a good exercise? And she said, yes, it was. Was it fun? Yes, it was. And so the difficulty, of course, is like a lot of us, we aren't all as verbal as she is, but you kind of go, why is he making us wave and say good morning? Why in the world do we have to sing Jesus Loves Me? Why, you understand? That kind of processing that we're all capable of doing when it comes to asking God. I do not know, standing out on the line later on today, whether I will have a sore back or not when I get done. I don't know sometimes when the people driving by, if they even notice or care. But every once in a while, I get this card back or this letter back, and I think I've shared one with you where, you know, a mother who's now a grandma sent me a note about her grandchild who's now a woman about the fact that this grandchild was saved because of the things we shared with the kids on abortion in my class. And that baby is alive today, and I shared it with you once before. Her daughter, who was not a very good child in some ways, finds herself pregnant, and her boyfriend, the mother, is going along. She takes her to the doctor. The doctor offers her the opportunity of having an abortion, and the mother just prays, and it was totally quiet. And the kids and the mother and the daughter all go out, and they get back in the car, and the mother just kind of turns to them and says, "Well, what are you guys going to do?" And the kids both look, and they said, "We had Pastor Harmon for religion. If he finds out we'd kill a baby, he'd kill us. We're not killing the baby." And I go, "Well, I guess that's something, you know. It isn't exactly, fear's a motive, I guess. But you understand, you do things and you don't always understand. You don't understand what the reward will be. You don't always understand the benefit that someone may have because of something you said or did." And I know we're talking about Life Sunday, but or Life Chain Sunday, but what we're talking about is that level of commitment and faithfulness that God keeps longing for us. And so I've been addressing that. I want you to turn now to the Psalm 37 section, if you would. Beautiful section in the Psalms. And you can just hear this prayer, this kind of talking to yourself, you know, right? That it goes, this phrasing of a Psalm of David, Psalm 37, starting at verse 1. "Do not fret." Fret means boil. It's not like, "Oh my goodness, I'm just so..." That doesn't mean like that. It means to fret, all right? That's a pretty large fret. "Do not fret because of evil men, but or be envious of those who do wrong." That's so hard to do. Look at all the bad stuff he did. He's so rich now. Look at the arrogance of those people. And look at, it's so hard for us to do. "For like grass, they will soon, it says, turn yellow green, wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land." And the psalm goes on, same great stuff, but I'm just going to stop there at verse 9. There are some do-nots in this psalm, and they are mostly related to fretting, this intensity. We all felt that, all right? Inevitably, I think I shared with you once, I was driving through Chicago and didn't realize, and apparently I had accidentally moved from one lane to the other, and on the interstate down the tollway, you travel about 85 miles an hour just to stay with the traffic while it zooms past you and everything else. And so I was trying to get out of the way of something, and apparently I cut somebody off. They came up alongside of me. They shot ahead of me about 150 yards, slammed on their brakes, full tilt. I screamed to a stop, which also meant someone could have slammed at me in behind. And I pulled to the other lane. I pulled over. I said, I go, "Holy cow, I don't know what I did or what happened." But so I just slowed down some more, and I tried to let them go, but they were now behind me. They came up alongside again, pulled in front a second time, right in front, slammed on the brakes, full tilt. I'm screaming again. This time I was more ready for it. But I go, "You have to understand that. I'm just, Lord, preserve my life here, because you just never know. How can evil people get away with that? How come there wasn't a police officer to watch that take place?" Right? You want to come up with your your logic, your reason, your rationalization, and the fretting of it. God fortunately spared me both those experiences, and I slowed off, pulled way over to the one side, and they finally took off and left me alone. But I just recently heard on the news of somebody who did that, and they got out of the car and they pursued somebody, and eventually they went somewhere, and he got out of the car a second time later on, thought the guy had left, and he was found shot later. I mean, the wickedness of evil men is so powerful sometimes, and here comes God, don't fret, don't boil with anger, because, all right? And the hard part is that second part, which you begin to understand, don't be envious, why do they get away with it? The evildoers seem to win, and then it goes on to the next phrase, because like grass, they will soon be cut off. And I keep waiting, do it soon, right? The hard part is this is not about what you shouldn't do, because the cure is not in wanting to stop fretting. I don't know if you've ever tried to stop being angry once you're wound. What are you doing? I'm trying to stop being angry. How's it working, right? You know, it doesn't work that way. And so the answer is here for you. Verse 3, all right? Watch these now. Mark them on your phone, or in your Bible, whatever you got, so you remember them. When I am fretting, when I am so angry I'm shaking, when I have been hurt or cut off unfairly on the highway, when I am in any situation that I believe is wrong, incorrect, the wicked are winning, God's answer is this, okay? Trust. Be sure of, verse 3, be confident in the Lord. Rest on God. God, you're going to have to come. I'm going to start talking to you. I don't know what's in the heart of this person that's cut me off, Lord. I just draw me close to you right now. Fill me with wisdom and understanding. Thank you for sparing my life twice. Thank you, Lord. You understand? You don't try and stop the emotion. You don't have the juice to do it. The command here is to trust in God and watch what else it puts on here and do good or the best. And he goes on in verse 4, delight yourself in God. Quietly bring that there, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5, commit to, and it's interesting Hebrew word, it means to roll with. You know, you heard that song in the airplane? They all shouted out, let's roll. Well, that's what that word is. Let's roll. It means we're doing this together. Let's move. That kind of a thing. Let's roll with the Lord. In your course, trust and be confident in him, and then finishes off in verse 7, be still in the Lord and wait. Don't fret yourself, because it points you to that. And so within the framework of this psalm, you've got the reality of the fretting, the anxiety that we all feel over different events and situations, the uncertainty of how to behave, and in the same framework, you have these words that speak about drawing closer to Christ. Draw closer to Christ. Let him try, you know, put your trust in him. If I was, you know, and part of it is you're so adrenaline filled in some situations when you get so angry, you have to allow God that time that it takes to finally quiet you back down, to finally settle you into a situation where you could begin to function as God's calling you function in that particular phase, in that particular situation. While the Scripture talks about being angry, it says be angry but don't sin. When Scripture calls us or God calls us, he's trying to bring us to that point where we begin to understand, I am trusting in the Lord. I am not trusting in the next president. I am trusting in the Lord. I'm not trusting in the U.S. government, the Supreme Court, the wisdom of men, the laws of men. Why? Because this makes me angry. This makes me so angry I want to shake sometimes. And so the answer comes back, you can't put your trust here because this cannot deliver what the world needs, what they need, or anything else. This is not the place to rest your faith or your trust. And so the challenge for us, like a little child, right? Come follow me. Okay. Say hi. Hi. Sing. Jesus loves me. Here's a test. Oh, really? You know what you would have been doing if I said we're going to have a quiz or a test? What I would do. What? How hard is it going to be? Do I need paper? Does this got to be written in pen? Right? And you kind of go, that's what we would sound like. And so the challenge for us, and here's Jesus, let these little kids come. This is the kingdom of God. Anyone that can accept me, the kingdom, like a little child. What's he asking? I've told you this many times before. Many of the retreats that I used to plan for my juniors and at different times, I used to say this phrase. I said, just participate, don't anticipate. And in order for them to participate, they have to put their trust that the leader will do something good for them. Because when I went on the retreat, everybody wanted to know, what are we going to do first? When are we going to eat? When are we going to do that? And I said, well, we'll eat in about this much time. They'd look at me and go, well, how much time is that? And I have taken away their watches, cell phones, and everything else. And all the clocks in the camp we were in were turned off or set totally at different times. And that was the way they had to exist. And so from a time of absolute control over their life, they experienced 3.5 days of no control where I was asking them, trust me. Trust me. And I'll make sure you eat, and I'll make sure you get enough sleep, and I'll make sure you're well taken care of. And I trust me, I will make sure you even have fun. And at the end of the day, I would allow them to evaluate it. I said, is it what I promised? And they go, yes. Are you able to trust me more tomorrow? Yes. And so while that anticipation struggle that we all have is difficult, God comes along and he looks at us and he says, participate with me. Put your trust in me. Don't rest your trust in the next election. Don't rest your trust in what they're saying or not saying. You've got to understand, I can take this nation up or knock this nation down like a potter rethrows a pot. And he says, you've forgotten that. If you think the power is going to be in your right arm, you don't understand the accounts of Gideon and the other accounts where God rescues people because of his mercy and his grace. And so in the middle of this, he's simply going, I know what you need. I see your heart. I haven't quit on you. I was trying to share in adult Bible study the reality of the words that God speaks that are irrevocable. When he looks at a Christian and he says, I will be with you always. When he looks at you and says, put your trust in me. When he looks at you and says, I will hear your prayer, even before you say it. You have to trust that. It requires you to enter in to a trusting relationship, even when God walks you around the church, even when he walks you in an unpredictable way. This isn't like the children's sermons usually are. This is not what usually happens. Why are we doing it differently? All the questions we want to ask, and I know that most of the time in my life, God smiles and says, trust me. All right? Trust me. And the challenge for me, of course, is to do exactly what these verses are trying to call me to do. Trust in the Lord, do that which is good, and delight yourself. And delight is just kind of be happy. It's kind of be, it's so cool. God, you're so brilliant. God, you're so cool. I love it. I love it. That's what it means to delight yourself. And I go, Lord, this feels so peculiar because the pain that I'm looking at, the uncertainty I'm looking at, the unknowns, what's going to happen with mom, the unknowns of how do I deal with my children, who, and the unknowns, this financial situation, the need of this particular person. And Lord, I just feel so limited. And God goes, delight yourself in me. God, you are always good. Keep going. I love you, Lord. And that's when I begin to sing or pray or praise, and I begin to understand God says if you set your eyes on something else besides him, you will be covered with this kind of fear, this kind of uncertainty, this kind of struggle. And God's call for us is here in this psalm. He says, listen, you've got to understand, I will deal with the evil. I have done it before. You have seen my faithfulness. You need to be obedient. Sometimes the obedience means speak. Sometimes the obedience means run. Sometimes the obedience means walk away. Sometimes the obedience means break up with that boyfriend. Sometimes obedience means be faithful. Sometimes the obedience is be still. Sometimes the obedience, you understand, but in the middle of that level of obedience, God continues to build his church and accomplish his purposes. And so the encouragement or the challenge there we put out there in verse 9, it goes, refrain from anger, turn from wrath, do not fret, it leads only to evil, for evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. That's where your trust has got to be. And here's the kicker. You can't simply describe what inherit the land means, right? Well, that means we're going to get the right kind of president. That means God says, no, child. Sometimes I'm taking that country down. I have wiped them out before. I don't need America. And the question is, will you follow me? Well, God, this is so uncertain. You better tell us how it's going to happen. God says, stand up and wave at the people. Hi, everybody. God says, go over there and sing a song. Jesus loves me, this I know. You understand? God, what good is this doing? And the answer is, you're following me, you're where you need to be. And God brings blessing and benefit and reward as we do that. And so the challenge for us is to put our trust, whether it's in a psalm, whether it's in another situation. And if you go back to that Matthew 19 chapter again, you can just read it on your own if you like. But it's the parable of the rich young ruler who believed he had it all figured out, right? He goes to Jesus, he asks him that question. And Jesus says, well, you need to obey all the commandments. And he said, well, which ones do you want me to obey? And he comes out, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't false testimony. Honor your father and your mother, love your neighbor as yourself. And the rich young ruler says, all these I have kept. What do I still lack? Go and sell everything you have. And yesterday in men's study, the observation was made by the pastor who's presenting our little study, said this, his name was not recorded. When someone gets saved in Scripture, almost always the name is recorded. We think this man walked away, and he walked away because following Jesus was not what he was wired to do. He loved something else more than the willingness to follow, and that becomes the challenge that we have to understand. God is calling us to step up, to follow, to not push our trust in the wrong thing, trust fully in him, and walk where he calls us to walk. And in the moment we do that, we set free the working of the Holy Spirit in the lives of people around us. We set free. And the challenge is for godly people to say, Lord, good morning. I want you to rescue me today and use my day for your glory, Lord. What would you have me do? And that process that you begin walking day by day with him. God's challenge for us is really simple in one sense. Draw close to me. I will take care of these things. I will manifest the changes in your life. You will see things happening around you that you can't comprehend. All right? And so as we do that, the disciples at the end came up after a rich young ruler left. And Peter, if you look in verse 27, said this, we've left everything to follow you, Jesus. What then will there be for us? Totally logical question, right? Well, wait, you know, Pastor, if what you're saying is right, what do you want us to leave? And I go, I don't know what God's going to ask you to do. I don't know where he's going to ask me to go. The other day I was praying, I'm going, Lord, if I ever retire, what do you want me to do? And he said, leave the country. Oh, wait a minute, let me change that. What are you doing, right? I go, I didn't want the answer, you know? And I know it's what, all right. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you will have these thrones that you will sit and judge. Verse 29, I won't go into that too far. And everyone who has left houses and brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Are you one of the older ones in the congregation? Have you been following God faithfully all your life? First will be last, last first. Well, God, you can't just save those little kids. God whispers to you and me the challenge that he has for us always. Be faithful. Trust me. I haven't forgot you. I haven't forgot the needs of your family. I see your children and your grandchildren. And even on your best day when you love them the best and you've been the kindest mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, friend, neighbor, cousin, brother, whatever you happen to be, I still love them more than you can possibly comprehend. And I have good plan for them. Put your trust in me and understand that waiting patiently for God. Join me if you would. Lord, encourage us today. What a challenge in front of us to trust you. And yet at the same time, you prove faithful. You continue to work. Lord, you have been faithful to the brothers and sisters who have gone before. And you have been faithful in situations that as we looked at them and tried to recognize them, saw no hope. Gideon with 300 taking on the whole Midianite army, or David taking on an expert soldier like Goliath and somehow managing to win that battle. And Joseph, nothing more than a young boy in jail, having nothing, Lord. And yet, in those lives of those people, as they proved faithful, even in the middle of their struggles, Lord, you made this psalm come true. We pray that this psalm would come true in our lives. We pray that this psalm would come true in our actions. We pray that you would find us faithful so that you can manifest your power in and through this fellowship, in and through our lives as individuals, and in and through our families. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. As the offering